Turn back to Exodus chapter 6. I titled this message, A Charge to Keep. I got the title from verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge. That's serious business. I looked at that today and I thought about myself standing here in this pulpit. God has given me a charge to keep. When I stand here every Sunday and Wednesday, I have one message. I have one message for God's sheep, and we'll see it here in a little bit. But there's also a message for the unconverted, judgment. Judgment's coming. And he said here, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and he gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, a message to give to the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He gave him a message for Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now Moses and Aaron, back in chapter 5, had told Pharaoh to let Israel go, to let them go into the wilderness, a 3-day journey, and hold a feast, a worship service unto the Lord. Now you can imagine these two Hebrews standing before the most powerful monarch on the earth at that time. I'm sure in his presence they looked like a couple hobos. You just know they did. They were not dressed in the garb of Egypt. They were dressed like shepherds. And you know the Egyptians, as we looked at some time ago, hated shepherds. They hated shepherds. And here are two shepherds standing for the greatest monarch and saying, commanding, not asking, not debating, but commanding, you let my people go. God said, you let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh didn't like that. It didn't sit well with Pharaoh. He hadn't been commanded to do anything since he was a boy growing up, I'm sure. He's the one doing all the commanding for years. And he did not. This was an embarrassment to him in front of his court for these two shepherds to walk in there and say, you let Israel go. And that didn't go well with him. So he made their lives even more difficult. They were to make bricks without straw. Now, I don't think they made these 4 by 6 inch bricks. The pyramids were being built at this time. And you look at those stones that they used. This is what they're making. And they've got to do this now without straw. And they became very, that is the Hebrews, the Israelites, became very upset with Moses because of this. Because of what Moses said to Pharaoh, their lives became so hard. So hard. It said anguish of spirit. Anguish of spirit. The good news only brought bad results on them. They were experiencing nothing but bad results out of the good news they heard. And I thought about this today as I was sitting over here. People who make a profession of Christ, an empty profession, but they confess Christ for a while, are sadly mistaken to think that their troubles will be less. That it's just going to be less. Things are going to be great now. When in fact, they're more. They're more. Now listen. All men and women bear the same troubles that come from sin. We all bear the same troubles because of that. But the believer must bear the reproach that comes from following Christ. So he's got more troubles. He's got more troubles now. The professor only becomes, he only becomes offended when he starts to bear these troubles, these reproaches over Christ. And it's like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I believe God. Where's God? Look over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Here in verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, he hears the gospel, and anon with joy he receiveth it. He makes a profession of it. He makes an outward profession of it, a confession of it. He receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself. The root of the matter is not in him. It didn't take root in him, for sure. But he dureth for a while. He may dureth for a long while. But years, maybe. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. Look over in Matthew chapter 11 here, just back a couple of chapters here. Matthew chapter 11. Let's see if I can find this. And it came to pass, look at the first verse. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison, he was in prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John was having a dark day. He was having a dark day in that dark dungeon. Jesus answered and he said unto them, Go and show John again. Again. Preach to him again. This is why we need the gospel. Again. And again. And again. Because by the time we get back here next week, we're going to be down. Somebody's going to really be down. Somebody might get knocked down. And he says, You go and show John again. Those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. John, you're in prison. I mean, this is God's. He said there's none greater than John the Baptist, those born of women. He's in a dungeon. He's been treated like a criminal. I mean, and it's not like what we have nowadays. I mean, we're talking about a bad, bad place. And John's having a bad day, and the Lord says, You tell him blessed are those. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me when troubles come. When troubles come. Well, the Israelites were offended. They were upset. They were upset because Moses came into town and Aaron told the Israelites, God's going to deliver you. If you'll look back over in chapter 5, in verse 5, and Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you, that is Moses and Aaron, ye make them rest. They're not doing anything. They quit. And actually, like I told you last week, that has reference back to God resting on the seventh day from all his works. He said, You've made them to rest from their works. You've given them rest from their works and from their burdens. You see, that's what the gospel does. It gives you spiritual rest. But boy, I tell you what, when that happens, you're going to find out there's going to be unrest in other areas that you've got to deal with. The gospel brings a new set of troubles that the world knows nothing of. And here it is, bearing reproach for Christ's sake. Remember, Moses was raised up in Egypt for 40 years. The man had it made. He had like a silver spoon in his mouth. But now listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. You going to join up with God's people? I'm serious. If you truly believe the gospel, you're going to suffer for it. Because you're going to have to make it known. It's going to leak out on you. And it says here, he's choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, get this, esteeming, Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ. That's right, that's what he's doing back there. He's esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, bearing his reproach. Now, Moses receives his message from God. He did not make up any part of the message that he delivers here to the Israelites. I'm not at liberty to add and subtract. And I'm not at liberty to think, well, you know, I think this would sound good tonight. I'm not at liberty to do anything in that fashion. Moses did not compromise the message to make it sound less commanding or demanding or less offensive to that monarch. I mean a monarch. He knew the power of Pharaoh. But he didn't back down. He didn't change the message. He did not make it less offensive. The message to Pharaoh throughout this whole thing, listen, never changed. Let my people go. That's God's command. Moses didn't come back the next day and say, now, how can we deal with this? He came back the next day and he said, let my people go. The message to Pharaoh was the same. And the message to God's people, to Israel, never changed. It was still a message of grace, of mercy, of redemption, of deliverance. It never changed. Never changed. And Moses dared not change it. You know, Paul said this in Galatians, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul gloried in the cross personally. He gloried in the cross publicly. And he gloried in the cross in his preaching. He never changed it. He never changed that message. He gloried in it. He reveled in it. He reveled in it. And another place he said this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of myself. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Moses would have been in real trouble had he changed the message. Real trouble. Now in verse 1, the Lord speaks to Moses and he encourages him. You see, look back in chapter 5. In verse 21, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you. This is Israel speaking to Aaron and Moses. And judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? We're impatient, aren't we? If it doesn't work out just like we think it ought to work out, we get impatient with the Lord. With the Lord. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done nothing but evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So the Lord now replies to Moses. He didn't scold him. He replies to him. See, he lets his servant speak to him. You know, this is Moses going to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord lets Moses speak to him like this. And then he replies. Here's his reply. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." Moses, now you're going to see my power. And you're going to see my purpose. You're going to see it. "For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." God does not barely save sinners. He's not going to barely save Israel. It's not going to be a real battle going on here, and he barely saves them. He's going to part the Red Sea, and they're going to go out rich, and they're going to drown the Pharaoh and his army. God does not barely save sinners. We are not barely saved in Christ. Christ is my security, and there's no danger. There's no danger of losing it. No danger. And then God spake unto Moses, and he said unto him, now listen, this is what the first thing he does. I am the Lord. He's real. The gods of Egypt, they had like 80-some gods. Not one of them was real. Wouldn't that be disappointing when you die? 80 of them, not one of them was real. But he says here, I am the Lord. Before this, Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? He said, here, this is who you say sent you. I am that I am. I am, God is who he is. That's who you say sent you. And he said, I am the Lord. God identifies himself as, listen, Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existing one. Not the one whittled out, but the one who is eternal. Has no beginning of days nor end of life. I'm Jehovah, the one that can be depended on at all times. God, our Savior. Moses, I am the Lord. I am God, your Savior. I am God, the Savior of Israel. I am Jehovah. Now he gets that to, you got to get that straight if you're going to speak on behalf of God. Who he is. And he says, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. The same God that appeared to his father now appears to him. And notice how he appears. By the name, listen, he said, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. God who is able to do just as he promised. God who has the power to do all things. God who is able to take care of them. Able to fulfill his promises and keep his covenant. El Shaddai, God all sufficient. But by my name Jehovah. And this is the name he said that I will be known by my people forever. God our Savior. The self-existing one. Listen. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. What we see here is this. Salvation comes by revelation. It comes by revelation. But not everything concerning God is revealed at once. You couldn't take it. You couldn't take it. We learn as we grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not know? You believe the gospel? Do you not know more of God now? Do you not have more confidence and hope in him now than you did 20 years ago? God doesn't reveal everything at once. It's a process. It's a process. And then he says here, and I have also established my covenant with them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've established it. It's sure. This covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob concerning the land of Canaan. And we know that that was a typical of the land of promise, of glory. And he said, I've established my covenant with them. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's going to take place. To give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. You notice God's covenant is with a particular people. It's with a particular people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelites, who represent the church. They are a type of the church. Now listen, did Israel inherit the land of promise? Did they? They sure did. And shall the true Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God, shall it not inherit glory? Shall they not inherit glory? They sure will. These examples show us that God will do just as He promised. He will do as He promised. And then we see God's, you know, we see Him as God of a covenant God. God Almighty, said they, I was known to them by God Almighty. But now we see here also a God of mercy. In verse 5, and I have also heard the groaning. I've heard. Can you imagine what condescension that is for God to hear the groaning of a worm? Have you ever listened to one? We don't want to hear nobody's groaning. Don't come in here complaining. That's our attitude. Most times it is, isn't it? To be honest, it's like, oh man, don't ruin my day. But God heard the groaning of the children of Israel, the children of Jacob. Jacob, mine elect. Jacob, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. He keeps saying this, I have remembered my covenant. I'm sure they forgot it. 400 years went by. They had forgotten all about that. And those Israelites, I'm sure they did. They had gotten caught up in idolatry and all that with Egypt. But God says, I remember my covenant. God's true to Himself. He's not going to break His covenant. He's true to His word. But He said, I've heard their groaning. Groaning is an audible sound without words because the pain is so great. He says, I hear that. I hear that. It has words with Him, even though we can't put it into words. And He knows the reason for the groaning, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. He knows the reason for the groaning. Not just that we groan, but why we groan. What's causing the pain? He said, I hear it. This is how in tune He is with His children. You and I have to ask our children, what's wrong? What's bothering you? And I can tell when the boys come in the house, I can tell immediately when they come in the house, something's wrong. But I don't know what it is unless they tell me. He knows what it is before we tell Him. Before we fall down on our face and pray about it, He already knows it. And the end has been determined and taken care of. He remembers His covenant. He's ever mindful, the Scripture says, of His covenant. And this is good news. Because listen, He's ever mindful of His covenant with His Son concerning His people, the church. Ever mindful. Ever mindful. And here's the message to the Israelites. Here's the charge that God gave to Moses and Aaron to give to the children of Israel. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now, apply this to the church, the true Israel of God. You just apply this. This applies to the true Israel of God, even though He did it here. and I will take you to me for a people. Oh, that's grace, isn't it? God, take me and make me one of His. And I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. Listen, I am the Lord. Count on it. It's going to happen. My, my, my. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You come, I guarantee you, you'll get it. I am the Lord. He's given His word. But this message, now listen, this message is to God's people. It is a message of good news. Because it has to do with what, listen, it has to do with what God shall do for us. Not what God will do and then I will do, and it's what God will do. You see, the covenant that made between God the Father and the Son has everything to do with them. And we just get to be the recipients of it. I mean, because listen here. He says in verse 8, I will give it to you for what? Look in verse 8, the latter part of that verse. I will give it to you for what? Inheritance. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You know, you give your children an inheritance, they didn't earn it or deserve it. You gave it to them because you loved them. That's why He's given us all that He's got, all that He is, all that we have in Christ is given to us as an inheritance because He loved us. Now that's just beyond explaining. But it's a message of good news. Salvation is what the Lord hath done for us. He says again, I am the Lord. Make it clear. Make it clear who He is. The Lord. I am the Lord. Listen, who is the Lord? Jesus Christ. Who is this capital L-O-R-D here speaking? Who is the one speaking to Moses? Jesus Christ. The Son of God. The second person of the Trinity. The Word of God. This is the one speaking. This is who it is. And then he says here, now let's look at these promises. We'll just kind of take them apart here little by little. Then I'll move along. First of all, I will. This is not going to be an attempt here. I brought this on a radio message that's coming up here in a week or two. God never attempts to do anything. He does not attempt. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God has promised to bring all His children out of bondage. The Egyptians represent the world. He has promised to bring all His children out of bondage. The bondage of sin, Satan, the law, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God has set the captive free. I am the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He says, I will bring you out. I will bring you out from bondage. Bondage of sin, bondage of Satan, bondage to the law. Whom the Son sets free, He's free of thee. And then He says, I will rid you out of your bondage. Oh, that word, rid. Rid. I looked that up. It means to snatch away. It means to put away, to take away. I will rid you of sin. One day, I'm telling you, one day we'll be in a place where there is no sin. No more temptation. No more heartaches. No more pain. No more crying. I'll rid you of those things. I'll rid you of them. I'll rid you of Satan. These shall not have dominion over you. All thy sins are taken away. All those things that kept you in bondage, He said, I'll rid you of them. Well, that's good news to a sinner who knows what it is to be in bondage. And then He says, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. not a withered arm, not just a human arm, but Christ is who he's talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. God's redemption of his people in the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty redemption. My soul, it's a mighty redemption. Redeemed by power as well as by blood. Redeemed. He said, I'll redeem you. And with great judgments. He said, you're going to see. You are going to see my judgment on Egypt. You're going to see it. And you know the saints are going to see. It's not that we don't revel in this, but the saints are going to see the judgments of God on this world and on Satan and all those fallen angels. We're going to see it. But now listen. I thought about this as I sat going over this today. Every sinner whom God saves will see the great judgments of God on Christ in his stead. When I look at Christ hanging on Calvary's tree, we've been going through that the last couple of weeks, I see that I've been redeemed with great judgment. Judgment that fell on my substitute. My, what great judgments were wrought on Christ at Calvary. And he says, you're going to see it. My people are going to see it. My people will see it. You know, a lot of people look at Calvary and they don't think anything of it. Actually, they think it's foolishness. Think it's foolishness. But you don't think it's foolishness. No. No, but it's redeemed with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. Oh, the grace of God that he would take a wretch like me, that he would take an enemy and make him a son. I've never known anybody do that. Take an outright enemy and make him a son or a daughter. God says, you're mine. They didn't look like it, did they? This is why Pharaoh had such contempt. You know, they are his slaves. And boy, did they look like slaves. I mean, they look like slaves, dress like slaves, smell like slaves. And I'm supposed to be afraid of their God? I'm supposed to be afraid of a God that has a people like this? Yes. Yes. He says, you're mine. I will take you. It almost sounds like wedding vows here. These two sentences here sound like wedding vows. Listen. And I will take you for a people, and I will be to you a God. Does that sound like wedding vows to you? It does to me. I will. I will take you, and I will be to you a God. I will be to you all that you need. I'll be to you protection. I'll be to you life. I'll be to you everything that God is. I have. Belongs to me. I will be to you a God. What comfort this should give us to know that God is our God. And the only thing I could think of when I wrote this down is this means everything. It just means everything to a believer. And you shall know, listen, I'll take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know. It's not guesswork here. You shall know that I am the Lord. I am God, your Savior. I am Jehovah. I am the Eternal One. You're going to know me. God said, you'll know me. You shall know that I am the Lord. Pharaoh will never know that. The world will never know that, but every one of his sheep will. Every last one of his sheep will know I am Jehovah. Our Lord said this in John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thou shalt know me. Thou shalt know me. And one day, about 2,000 years ago, he came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. Worked out a righteousness for his people. Went to the cross and died under the judgment of God for their sins. Ascended on high. Seated at God's right hand. Making intercession for the transgressor. Do you know him? Do you? I mean, really, do you know him? If you're his, you do. You know him. And what, here, and why? Because he said, you shall know me. I'm going to see to it. I'm going to see to it that my people know me. My bride, it'd be bad to have a bride or a wife that didn't know you. He said, no, you're going to know me. You're going to know me. My people are going to know me. Listen, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You're going to know exactly who I am and what I've done for you. You're going to know it. There's not going to be any doubt about it. No sinner has ever been saved and not know what he or she has been saved from. That's just not possible. You know, he says, you're going to know me, and you're going to know what I saved you from. Sin. Curse of the law. You're going to know it. He's going to receive all the glory and salvation. And I'll bring you in into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you, as I said a while ago, for a heritage. You didn't earn this. You didn't earn this. You've been a slave to a pagan nation. You've been a slave to a pagan nation. They had forgotten about the land of Canaan. They had settled in and they figured this is it for the time shall be no more. He said, I'm going to give it to you for a heritage. You didn't earn it. I'm giving it to you. Because of this, I made a covenant. I made a covenant with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you're going to have what I promised them. And the church is going to have what he promised to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have it. You're going to have it. Everyone for whom Christ died shall enter the promised land. God has staked his name on it. He said, I am the Lord. I stake my name on it. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, and they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. The good news did not bring immediate relief, so they complained. But you know what? God still delivered them, didn't he? Oh, haven't we complained? I mean, since we believed, we've complained. Why? Lord, why? Why is this? Why that? Just complain, but I tell you what, you're still going to wind up in glory. Because it doesn't depend on you, it depends on Christ. It was made with him. They still entered the promised land, even though they complained. And then let me show you here in closing, God's purpose never changes. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. He didn't change the message. He said, you go back in there, Moses. You know how hard, you know how difficult this had to be. You go right back in there tomorrow, and you tell him, let my people go. Look at all the opportunities that were given to Pharaoh to let Israel go. You know, the scripture says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and it says God hardened his heart. But I thought today in reading these things, that's what trials do to an unbeliever. The trials, the plagues that God sent on Egypt hardened Pharaoh's heart because he did not believe God. But the trials that God sends on his children do not harden their heart. They run you to Christ. They run you to him. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened to me. They haven't listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? He's not going. If the children of Israel won't listen, Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. Who am of uncircumcised lips? He said, I have a speech impediment. He said, I can't even speak properly. He'll just make fun of me. You know, he's just going, who's this babbling idiot again? You know, Moses here. Moses, this is amazing. I'm telling you, this is amazing to me that Moses is talking to God like this. And allowed to. And God speaks with him. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and gave them a charge. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just like Moses, this is how it is. I've given you a charge. He gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's a serious charge. It's not going to change. Let me close with this. Turn over to 2 Timothy. And I close with this. Second Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Deliver the message. Deliver the gospel message to God's people and warn the wicked of judgment. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And I pray God Almighty that we keep this charge.